This is the Two Bald Nerds Podcast. Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Two Bald Nerds Podcast. I'm one of the two balds. My name is Mark Stachewski, also host of the Mark Stachewski Podcast. And this other gentleman who is not in the hot, hot South, he's up in the hot, hot North, is my cousin. And who might you be, my friend?
I am Daniel Bort, and I am the other bald nerd.
Now, you say Daniel, but I know you as Danny, so should I address you as Danny or Daniel, Dan, or...
No, Danny's fine. Like, I, as long as you don't call me late for dinner or idiot, I'm all good. It's a funny story. My website, not that I pitch my website, because I haven't been doing much with it lately. It's just kind of like a personal blog. But the name that I bought was danielbort.com. So I usually refer to myself as that because then it's easy for me to say, well, you want to go check out what I'm talking about? Go to danielbort.com. So, But there's very few people that call me Danny. You call me Danny. My mom calls me Danny. Everyone on my mom's side calls me Danny. Everyone on my dad's side calls me Deno, which is like the Southern version of Dano from Hawaii 5-0.
Oh,
I've found this out. And then everybody around here just calls me Dan. So,
what do they call you at work?
They call me Dan.
Oh, okay.
I got the Dan moniker at work. There's actually two Dans at work. There's myself, and then there's another Daniel. He stole Dano because he's older than me. So his came directly from Hawaii 5-0. I said, if you want Dano, you can be Dano. I'll be Dan. That's fine.
Oh. Okay. All right, that was a total sidebar,
but
Very sidebar, but it's okay. It's our podcast. We can talk about whatever we want to talk about. Maybe one day we'll talk about the color grass on the other side of the fence, but not today. Today we're talking about artificial intelligence, AI. Now, you may know these as Siri or Alexa or Google or Cortana. I don't know if Cortana is still a thing. There's so many AIs, and I am going to start the show because I'm Apple silver and white. And I remember when there was no artificial intelligence. And then again, I remember when there were no computers. So that's how old I am, 57 years young right now. So there are over 110 million virtual assistant users in the United States alone. And the software is especially common in smartphones and smart speakers, as we know. Now, put that in perspective, there's 330 million people in this country. Now, I'm not going to break down all the numbers and all the countries around the world. This would be a very long podcast. So 110 million virtual assistant users. Now, that's because a lot of people don't know how to use it. So it's about a third of the people are using it. Now, it is projected that in 2021, now this is last year's information because we're just recording this podcast, 132 million people will use digital voice assistants at least once a month in the United States. I'm like, once a month? I use that like every hour. This has got some really bad data. The three best voice assistants, according to smarthomeelectronics.co.uk, number one is Amazon Alexa. It's known best for device capability. Number two, Google Assistant for best accurate responses. And my beloved Siri is number three for best, obviously, for Apple users. So, Danny, did you have anything you want to say in that opening monologue, I guess you could say?
I got to believe that since this is older information, those numbers obviously are different if we were to find newer numbers. However, I gotta believe that they might be fairly accurate, because if you figure 350 million people in the U.S., I think they're probably counting children as well.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, 132 million people using digital at least once a month, and that's only the once a month numbers, right? So.
Yeah, that number sounded crazy to me, because I'm always asking Siri to start a timer or create a reminder or something. So, I mean, I could be skewing that, but I love the virtual assistant. So let's jump right into Siri. Now, Siri is Apple's AI. It originally came out October 4th, 2011 on the iPhone 4S. Danny, I'm so glad that they got rid of these S versions. They finally got a clue and they started calling them 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Stop with the S's. Okay. If you don't have a major update, just skip a year, but the S's drove me crazy. But that's when it came out October 4th, 2011. It came out to mixed reviews. It was new. It was a new technology. Now, I thought this was fascinating that Siri actually started out as an app on iOS back in February 2010. Did you know that?
I did not know that. That's very interesting to learn.
Yeah.
And I saw that in the notes. I was like, wow, I didn't know it was actually 2010. That was kind of interesting.
Now, Siri is named after a coworker. I'm going to try to say this, Kitlos, in Norway, meaning beautiful woman who leads you to victory in Norwegian. Other sources have also referred to the fact that in Swahili, it means secret. Shh. Now, originally, developers wanted to release Siri for Android and BlackBerry devices with an acquisition by Apple in April 2010, soon changing that. Now, right now, in July of 2022, Siri is now available in both male and female voices, American, Australian, British, Indian, Irish, and South African. So I use the female South African voice. I think Siri sounds really sexy in that voice. I do also like the Australian and the British. The Irish, if they had a British brogue or an Irish brogue, I would use that, but their Irish is not too good. So, Danny, what Siri do you use?
I, right now, I'm using the female American.
Boring.
However, I have switched back and forth between the American or the female British. You are correct. The Irish is not good at all. They need to get a better Irish.
Yeah, if they could have Roma Downey do the Irish, that would be awesome.
That would be fabulous. That would be awesome. Yeah, the South African is actually really good too. And you know what's funny is I don't know why I don't change it more often. Like, it's a simple setting to change, right? But I kind of got stuck with the American version, and I changed it a couple times and then changed it back for whatever odd reason. And I don't know. Now that we've seen this list, though, that's one of the things I'm going to do today is I'm going to go in there and change it to a different one.
I think it's funny when I'm out in public and I ask Siri a question, and, you know, it's the South African lady, and people are like, what's wrong with your phone? I'm like, what's wrong with yours? Yours is boring. I got some spice in mine, but it's just, you know, that's just me. I'm weird. What can I say? So of all the AIs out there, Apple is the most private. This is something I'm going to want Danny to chime in on in just a few minutes here. This means that it can't be as helpful as Google or Alexa might be able to. Now, we have talked in the past, Danny, that with Google, you know, the Google Maps, that you could be going down the street, and if you always stop off at a certain coffee shop or a certain gas station, it'll actually say, hey, you usually stop off at this gas station. That doesn't happen with Apple because of a little more privacy. They don't get to the beginning of the end. They don't grab those. So what are your thoughts about the AIs and privacy?
I fully agree that Siri is the most private. And I believe we covered this in our podcast on a couple ones ago where we talked about some of the privacy stuff.
Yeah.
And the long and short of it is especially with the newer devices that are coming out, they have a neural chip so that a lot of their voice recognition is now processed locally. I think I mentioned that in that podcast.
Yeah.
So before, a lot of these technologies were all based on the fact that the voice recognition had to happen over the internet because they just couldn't store that stuff on the actual devices. Apple has gotten to the point with their M1 and their M2 chips where they actually have a neural chip on there that can actually do all of that language processing on device, which makes it even more secure. So it doesn't have to call out to the internet to do any of the language processing, which is great. Google right. and Alexa, they still depend on that. And because their business model is to sell your information, they depend on it in more ways than one. They really want to get your voice and they want to get what you're searching for vocally as well as whatever you're doing in their search engines or browsers or whatever, so that they can then take that data, target ads towards you, but then sell your information on what ads you're searching for to other third-party companies. So if you read any of the fine print, in those long EULAs, they call them, the user the end user license agreements that are like a million pages long and nobody reads.
Right.
It will tell you in there what they're doing, and it can be kind of scary, but.
Wow. Okay. So there are some funny things you can ask Siri, and I'm actually going to demonstrate this, and I can do this because, we have an Apple HomePod in our house. And so I have my iPhone and my watch. Well, my watch you have to raise and say it, but I don't, if I say, hey, you know who, the only thing it'll fire off would be on the HomePod. So on my phone, I actually have to press the side button and I don't have to say, hey, her name. So I thought it'd be fun to see if I can work this live on the podcast here. So here's one of the questions we'll ask. What are you wearing?
Let's see. Okay, just as I thought. The same as yesterday.
That's funny.
Okay, let's try another one here. Do you have a boyfriend?
My end user license agreement is commitment enough for me.
And we'll do one more. How old are you?
I'm as spry as a slice of young ginger.
Now, see, you could hear the South African accent. Now, it sounds really interesting, I will say. And I think it's funny when you ask a question. You could tell her tell me a joke. Ask Siri to marry you. It's amazing. I already did that. No, that's a boyfriend. You can ask her to marry you. You can ask her how much she costs. It's hysterical what you can do. And my wife's got the male version for some strange reason, but I'm a guy. I like the women version. So have you ever asked Siri any interesting questions, Danny?
As a matter of fact, Zoe, my goddaughter, got me into doing this because she does it all the time. On her iPad, she will ask Siri to tell her stories. And Siri will actually go out and find. And see, I said it. So I said it, and she said, cancel, Siri. No, you can see, that's the only thing about it is if you say it, sometimes she won't go away. Anyway, Zoe would ask her to tell me a story. And she's told the story of the Itsy Bitsy Spider. She's told the story of Hansel and Gretel.
Wow.
So it's pretty interesting, and it'll be different stories. And you can ask to tell specific stories. Tell me a story about a spider. Tell me a story about a little girl. So you should try that sometime when you have some time to kill.
I remember once I said something and I used the word depressed. Probably my team lost or something like that. And all of a sudden the HomePod chirped up and says, would you like me to call somebody for you? I'm like, I'm sorry, what now? and you know what? A lot of people don't realize this, but it used to be that Apple used to have commercials on sporting events that used to say, hey, if you want to know when the next game is, say, hey, S, you know, remind me the next game 5 of the NBA Finals. But they had to change it. They have to say, ask Siri to tell you when the next game is, because what happens is when they said, hey, S, everyone's phones went off and
it was triggering everybody's devices. Yeah.
So they had to change it. So now it says, ask Siri instead of, hey, you know who. So I just thought that was interesting. I mean, I just love how much smarter AI has gotten over the years. And we're going to get into this a little bit later in the podcast. But I only use Siri. I am a one AI guy. I don't even use Alexa when I go to my Amazon app. It's just, I don't know. I feel like I'm cheating on Siri. So I'll let you take Amazon Alexa because, well, you know, you probably use it more than I do.
So Amazon Alexa, a virtual assistant technology largely based on a Polish speech synthesizer named Ivonia that was bought by Amazon back in 2013. The initial release was done in November 6th of 2014. Amazon Alexa accounted at the time of this market share, which was 2017, for 62% of the worldwide digital assistant.
And now, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it is a store. I think that's why it has such a big footprint in the marketplace.
Yep. It's the store, and it's the fact that it's on their Fire Sticks and it's on their music app. And so it's across multiple different hotspots, if you will, as to where you could use it. It's not just the one device specific. One of the questions that pops up a lot is, does Alexa always listen? And the way Alexa is designed is that it can listen when it is called upon. Now, I actually did some research on this a few years ago. And from what I could gather is, it is listening for its name. So it is listening for the in the conversation in 60-second loops.
Okay.
And it is supposed to purge those 60-second loops every so often. There is a way you can go into your Amazon profile and get what was recorded by Amazon. I haven't done it in quite some time, so I don't remember the specifics. And I may have told this, I know I told this story on my, on our podcast that we did on the privacy, but they say that it only listens for, it's only listening because it needs to listen for its name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I completely believe that, because my friend, my coworker at the time, started getting weird ads popping up on his phone, and he has an Android phone, and they were popping up in Amazon and other places. And he swears to me, now again, this is secondhand information, so who knows, but he swears to me that no internet, physical internet searches were done on this particular product. And that the only time the product was discussed was in their living room, and he's got the Echoes in his house. And the only time it was discussed was in their living room when they were simply having a conversation about the product. How true is that? I don't know. You can go and find stories on the internet where people will tell you all the time, I think Alexa's listening all the time. Technically, it is, because it has to be listening for its name. Mm-hmm. And because that device has to call out to the internet to recognize, that connection has to be there. Hmm. Now,
but
I think
but what about the story we all heard a couple of years ago, where all of a sudden these toys started showing up at this person's house?
So I think that has a lot to do with the fact that if you're gonna have her, because I have a Amazon machine back over here, so I don't want that going off. If you're gonna have her active on a device that's in your house, that's on all the time, like an Echo or one of those Amazon, it would be the same thing as like your Apple HomePod, right?
Mm-hmm.
You should make sure that you set your privacy settings so that there's either a PIN code that has to be set or put in or something like that, because you can order, right? And anybody who's ordering over this device is going to be able to order, unless you set the parameters around it at your account level. Because nice. That's part of the quote unquote beauty of it, right? Is you could be in the middle of doing something in the kitchen and you realize you're out of dish soap, and you can say, you know, hey, Al, can you order me some Dawn dish soap? And it'll do it. So that's one of the pitches of it, is that it's tied to the Amazon store. But again, if you've got kids and you don't have something that'll confirm that you're doing it by saying, okay, please enter, you know, please say your PIN code or something like that, please confirm, then yeah, your kids could say, hey, Al, order me, you know, the Lego Death Star. Okay, next thing you know, you got this massive box showing up at your house. So,
yeah, and I can just imagine the kid for Alexa going, would you like that same day air? Sure. Yeah, I'm sure mom and dad would not appreciate that. Now, what about now Google Home? I haven't heard too much about it. Now, I'm not an Android home. Now, is Google Home still a pretty big deal? Are they more comparable with Alexa or Siri?
I think they're more comparable with Alexa. They're trying to get into the market of being able to control devices in your home. And you've seen Google make moves for that. Like they bought the Nest thermostat company, mm-hmm. so that you can use your Google Home in order to control your thermostat through voice.
Well, Siri does that now. Apple does that now. It's called HomeKit. So you can get a special garage door opener or yep. lights or appliances or security camera. I think all of them are going to that market, because I think that's the next frontier yeah. that it's going to be, you know, you could be sitting on your couch and say, hey, S, can you please lower the lights or lower the thermometer at thermostat? I mean, and it's going to do it automatically. I think that's the next big frontier. Yeah.
The key to that, though, and I listen to some podcasts. There's a specific podcast I listen to called Self-Hosted by a bunch of Linux, really deep Linux nerds that like set up their own home automation that are using Apple HomeKit and some of those devices, along with some other more open source, open standard, because I believe that Apple HomeKit is using or will allow you to connect to some of the more open standard devices. And what they can do is they can literally wall off their network, their local network in their house, and you don't need the internet to control your devices.
Oh, wow.
So they literally can go up and control their devices as long as they're connected to their LAN, and they don't have to, that LAN doesn't necessarily have to be connected to the internet all the time. So like some of them have it to where that when they get close to the house, the LAN will sense their phone and will connect their phone to that internal LAN, which doesn't connect to the internet, but because it's, they have a wireless signal, the phone will connect to it. And then it'll turn on the front door lights automatically because the phone is in presence, right? So there's a lot of stuff you can do. And they get, I've only just started breaching that subject because I've been so averse to a lot of this home automation stuff, mostly because I'm a child of the 80s and 90s and Terminator scared the bejesus out of me. So when we have these conversations about AI and I've got some like, you know, stuff at the end that I put in here that the some thoughts on this, it just gets me, the technology is cool, but the potential ramifications are kind of scary to me in certain respect. Chances are they'll never happen, but you know.
Yeah, this is something people have to understand. Elon Musk has said we're making a mistake with AI that's not regulated, and now the genie's out of the bottle. He's terrified of AI. Think about that. Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, he's terrified of AI. If he's terrified of AI, so am I. So what is AI? Well, AI is the ability of a computer or robot to perform tasks commonly associated with intelligent beings, typically humans, but we'll leave that. We'll dive into another podcast some other time when we create another one, which is more controversial. So where did AI come from? Well, there's a guy named Alan Turing, and he created the Turing machine, the first construct of an abstract computing machine with limitless memory that could compute using symbols. Now, he helped crack the German Enigma codes of World War II. Now, we're going to get really into the woods here. I should say Danny is going to get really into the woods here, because he's going to talk about areas of AI and four main types of AI and machine learning and neural networks. But we're not going to go for another hour and a half. So I just this little note to Danny. Okay, let's just skim over this. Let's not make this a real long podcast. But why don't you pick up where I left off on the areas of AI, or on my screen, it looks like Al, but I know that's not what it meant.
Yeah. So there's areas of AI, and then there's what they consider four main types of AI. So the areas of AI are the strong, the applied, the cognitive simulation, and the conversational. Now, what we've been talking about mostly with Siri and Alexa, Google Assistant, those, that's conversational AI, which is a blend of natural language recognition and machine learning. Strong AI is basically just a machine that thinks exactly like humans. We don't have that yet. Applied AI is used for information processing. So that's where a lot of your smart devices come from that aren't voice recognition dependent. Any kind of smart IoT devices that plug into other devices that are using any kind of, when they say they have AI, it's applied AI.
What's IoT?
Internet of Things. So like your toaster connects to the internet for some weird reason, it's an IoT device.
Okay.
And they do have toasters that connect to the internet. You can find them on Amazon, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Just ask Alexa.
Just ask. Yeah. Cognitive simulation are systems that are used to test theories about how human minds work. Mm. So it's not a computer that actually thinks like a human, but it's simulations. So the four main types of AI are reactive AI that provide a predictable output based on input it receives, but it can't learn. This would be something like a computer that can play chess. Okay. Like Big Blue, even though they say it's super smart and can beat the greatest, you know, chess player in the world, it doesn't learn. It was never designed to learn. All it's doing is running through all the moves really, really super fast. And it's able to extrapolate and calculate out the moves an infinite number into the future based on what a person does. But it's not really learning because all of that stuff is easily predictable. Limited memory AI learns from the past and builds experiential knowledge based on observing actions or data.
Is this Alexa and Siri?
This is sort of, yes. Yeah, so they would kind of fall into this bucket.
Okay.
Theory of mind AI is AI that has decision-making capabilities that are similar to humans, which they're working on, but they haven't really gotten there yet. And then the self-aware AI is basically any theory of mind AI that then becomes self-aware. So they're aware of their own emotions, if a machine can have emotions, as well as the emotions of others around them. And they have a level of consciousness and intelligence similar to a human being.
Wow.
If you think about it, what makes human beings different from animals, from everything that we've been able to study, is that we are aware of our own existence, and there's a way for us to measure the fact that we understand that we are different, and that's what self-awareness is.
Right.
Your dog, your animals, as much as we love them, they are not self-aware. At least that's what they tell us, right?
scary to think that AI could be that these smart people are trying to go to self-aware AI. I think that's one of the things that scares me and probably Elon Musk when you get to self-aware AI.
Yeah. There's no need to take a machine to the exact replica of a human.
Right.
I just don't think that there's a need for it. We could take
anyone?
Yeah, I know. We could take it to the point where it's helpful to us, but there should be a limit, right? And that's what Elon Musk is saying. We're not putting the brakes on any of this. There's people out there that aren't even thinking about the brakes.
Right.
So then we get into this concept of machine learning. You hear machine learning thrown around a lot. It's like a buzzword nowadays.
Yep.
Machine learning is nothing more than computer systems that use data that is given and then either learn from that data or extrapolate from that data and any new data that it collects, gradually improving its accuracy over time. So it really is a machine that can, it starts with a set of data because all machine learning has to be trained. Okay. In that sense, it's kind of like a human being. You train a human with a subset of starting principles data as their kid. And then at some point, they learn how to take over and learn themselves. Unless they
have. Let me ask you this question, because I've always got confused. So what is the difference between artificial intelligence and machine learning?
Machine learning is a subset of artificial intelligence. So artificial intelligence is like a very broad description of any kind of computer system that attempts to think like a human being. Machine learning is a subset of that where they've taken a computer system and already made it so that it can kind of learn like a human being learns because it can take data that it's given. It can collect new data and then put those pieces of data together to extrapolate new bits of information.
Gotcha.
That's what machine learning is.
Interesting.
Neural networks, which is another buzzword that gets thrown around all the time, is a series of algorithms that endeavor to recognize underlying relationships that have in a set of data through a process that actually mimics the way the human brain operates. So whereas machine learning is, we've taught the computer how to sort of learn by using data, the neural network takes the machine learning a step further and says, how do we teach these machines to learn like the human brain would learn? Like the if you get into a lot of the stuff with the human brain, our brains function a very specific way to help us learn and extrapolate information. We haven't been able to replicate that with computers. We've been able to teach computers how to learn, but they don't learn the same exact way that the human brain processes information.
Well, when you look back to where we started with like virtually no technology, and now here we are in 2022, I'm only 57, and I know you're a few years younger than me. I think going down the road as we get closer to when I get 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old, we're going to look back and like, oh my gosh, you remember when you say, hey, S, what time is it? Or set the timer. I mean, I will never have, you know, implants in my head. You know, I'm sorry, I'm not going that way. But it's going to be very interesting to see how this unfolds in the coming years. Now, something very interesting that you did some research on is social impact. So this all things in our world, all things are going to have pros and cons. So Danny found some social impacts. One of them is jobs loss, greater unemployment due to replacement by machines, AI. Danny and I have an aunt up in Rochester. She's 85 years old and she hates technology. She wishes she'd go back to the 60s and 70s. I don't want to go back to the 60s and 70s, but I told her a story about a coal mine that was closing in Pennsylvania, like 60 guys. And the company said, look, we're going to help you out. We're going to teach you coding. And 30 of the guys took the training ability and they learned it. And the other people complained and went off the sunset. And she goes, why are you telling me this? I'm like, because it's going to happen. And you can either say, hey, I'm going to learn a new skill, or I'm going to be Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh and go, woe is me, wah, 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 and cry like a baby. You're not going to stop technology. Okay, I know that our Aunt Rory wishes back in the 60s and 70s. She thought it was easier, but think about the medical advancements in 2022. We're not going backwards, okay? Unless someone explodes an EMP over the United States, we're not going backwards. So you need to learn to adapt the technology. Then you have overdependence on AI technology. There are people that you and I both know where, oh, what's your wife's phone number? I just tell Siri to dial it. There's some numbers you should know.
Yeah.
So you're depending on that. And then there's a loss of motivation. I mean, if AI is going to do everything for you, instead of reading the book, I'll just get the 1 minute summary. And then there's resentment. I think resentment of AI, people are taking it the wrong way, in my opinion. Okay. They're resenting the technology instead of one, learning how to use the AI to help them. I mean, you and I both have Apple Watches. I mean, the AI is incredible. If you fall, it'll say, hey, did you have a fall? It'll ask you. You have to actually type, no, I'm okay, I didn't fall, or yeah, call 911. So I think for people to make a blanket statement, oh, AI sucks, I think they're missing the boat, because yes, there are going to be some social impacts regarding AI, but I think most things have a good side and a bad side. So what say you about the social impacts?
So I kind of fall sort of where you do. My issue becomes, how fast does it roll out? We know technology rolls out super fast, and we know that society is not fast moving. We as human beings do not necessarily adjust as fast as the technology can come out. We've mm-hmm. seen that happen. So is this my greatest fear in all of this, is that as the AI becomes more predominant in the lives, that there is going to be skill sets that, here's a perfect example. We all know, because I know people, everybody says AI is coming. We're going to close down this shop. We're going to replace a lot of this with robots, AI, whatever. We're going to teach you how to code. Now, in the case of the coal mine, 30 people said, okay, I'll go learn how to code. 30 people said, to hell with it, right? They didn't even try. But let's flip that around. Let's say you took those 60 people, and let's say only 5% say, hey, tick off, I don't want to deal with it. And 55 tried it. But only five of those people had the brain capacity to be able to pick up the coding. Mm-hmm. Like only five people were able to actually learn the coding to be able to get an effective job. Now you've got 50 people who are unemployed because they have no, the only skill set that they've ever known or ever learned has been eliminated.
Yeah.
By a robot. And they tried, but now they have to find something completely different, which isn't a horrible thing. But again, that is going to be an unemployment nightmare if that happens at, if the unemployment happens at a greater place than the retraining of individuals. So there has to be some sort of caution with the rollout of some of this stuff. A lot of these companies, they don't think about that. They just want to roll it out, get it out there, because the AI at some point becomes more cost effective than the employees. And they're not thinking about the impact to the people. And again, I'm a conservative person and I'm also a capitalist, right? So I think that what's good for business is good for business. However, I'm also a, what they would consider a moral capitalist. I also believe that if you're going to be a capitalist, you should make your decisions based on some sort of moral standing. You can't just say, I'm going to eliminate 80% of my workforce. And if 10% can come along for the ride, that's good. And I don't really care about what happens to the other 90% of that workforce that I just let go. That to me doesn't seem like it's the right approach either. That's the only place where I worry about that. And I think that's where some of the resentment will come from. And there's there's obviously other labor jobs. Like, what if we replace everybody who's been a janitor because that's what they're good at and they go to work every day and they're the best dang janitor in the world. And that's all that they've ever wanted to do. And they're happy doing it. And that's all that they really are. Maybe mentally there, that's all they're capable of doing is being a janitor, where there's nothing obviously wrong with that. And you replace that janitor position with a robot at some point. So you have to be cautious. The AI can be good. Technology can be good. But if you don't, again, like Elon says, if you don't put some brakes on it and think it through, it can lead to some pretty negative impact.
Yeah, prime example is Amazon. So when Amazon first came out, it was 3-day delivery. Then it's 2-day. Then it's 1-day. Now, a lot of the Amazon basics is same day. Matter of fact, just the other day, I was looking for a new notebook, right? And I found one and it was Amazon basics and it says, hey, if you put $9 more in your cart, you'll get it today. And like, this is at 9:30 in the morning. I had the order within 2.5 hours. Wow. That's because there are not people in the warehouses anymore. It's all robots. Now, see, we're the same people that are saying, oh, that's wrong, that they shouldn't do that, are the same people that are going, yeah, I don't want to wait 3 days. I want it today. Well,
yeah,
I'm sorry. You want it both ways. So, yes, robots can work 24/7, 365. They don't have emotions. They don't have fights with each other. They just do what they're programmed to do. But yeah, they're going to be people out of work. Now, I don't know how far this is going to go. Like I said several times in the show, we're not going backwards. So if you are a Luddite or a Luddite, however you say it, you're going to have to really wake up because we're not going back. I've heard people complain when you go look for a job now, there's no paper applications. Why? You could do it right. You sit there on the computer. You see them when you go in Lowe's or Home Depot or wherever. You sit down on the computer. You do everything right in the computer. That way, don't have to worry about, you know, can they read the writing or anything like that? We're not going backwards. So if you don't like AI and machine learning, I guess you move out to the woods and go off the grid. That's the only option.
Yeah. And I think part of this can be handled too. If we could get a handle, again, this is a whole totally separate conversation, nothing related to technology really, except for the fact that the education in many places, including the United States, is broken.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're teaching people the right skill sets and types of skills and ways of thinking to stay ahead of these kind of situations.
Yeah, I agree.
If we taught this from a young age, then I think you could lessen this gap a lot more.
Yes, agreed. Well, my opinion is, now this is the last thing I'll say on the show today, I think we are in a time of our lives now that school is more of a place to go to collect debt than is necessary. If you're going to be a coder, you don't have to go to college. You can, if you want to be a coder and you're not coding now in your sleep, you forgive it. You're not going to do it. You web designer, all that stuff, you don't have to go to college. So what I encourage people to do is don't be afraid of technology. Learn how to use it. Learn how to control it. But don't be afraid of it. If you're afraid of it, then reach out to someone in your family who's not afraid of it and explain it. Because Alexa and Siri and Google, they're not out to get you. They're out to steal your data, but they're not going to, they're not like a boogeyman tonight. So before I wrap up, any final words from you, Danny?
No, I would just say, look at all your options. Yeah, take, you can get cheap classes, cheap introductory classes in any kind of coding. Heck, you can go on YouTube and find a bazillion different ways to get an introduction to any kind of programming language you want. Pick one that you've heard of, do an introductory run through on YouTube and see if it's something that you're interested in. If it whets your appetite, then dig into it, because the more you know about the underlying way that this AI actually works, the more usable that's your skill set for the future.
Yep.
Because regardless of how far, how long it takes to get where it needs to be or where they want it to go, for right now and the foreseeable future, you need people to build them. You need people to feed it the data. You need people to pro, the machines can't write their own code. You still need people to write the code for the machines. Now, if the machines get to the point where they're writing their own code for themselves, we have a whole different conversation and we'll be back for another podcast.
Yeah. Skynet, anyone? But I will say the best money I spend is $12 a month for YouTube Premium. It beats Hulu and Netflix and everybody else, because there are a lot of great creators out there who only put their stuff on YouTube. And I've learned so much. I learned just a couple of days ago, my wife and I watched Canada's Wonderlanders. It's like the Disneyland of Canada. Never knew it. But when you get premium, you don't get the ads. And it's incredible. So, I've learned there's this channel on there that has webcams from around the world. And it goes from like Germany to South Africa to Japan. And it's like a 15 second, where it is. And it's cool to see.
Oh, that's cool.
But you can get YouTube Premium and you can go learn about coding ad free. And if you don't like it, you can cancel it after a month. It's $12. So do yourself a favor, get the YouTube Premium. I don't get anything out of it if you get YouTube Premium, but you don't have to deal with those dang ads. So, Danny, thank you so much for being on this episode. It's a really a highlight of my week to do this podcast with you, because we get to talk about nerdy stuff. A lot more episodes coming in the future. So if you want to know what we're going to talk about next, you're going to come back next week. I mean, we're going to keep it a secret. We're not going to tell you in advance, because you may go, oh, I'm not interested in that topic, and you may blow it off. So now we're not going to tell you. So you have to show up next week. So just subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, just subscribe to it. That way, every time a new episode comes out, you will be alerted. So Danny, what is the one thing they need to do in between episodes?
They need to stay nerdy.
Yes, sir.